Sub race fans, you have just entered the right place to talk about everything racing and go for another ride on the In the Groove podcast with your host, Slammin' Sam Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, strap in, don't go anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is the second episode of 2021 In the Groove podcast. I'm kind of excited about this guest. This guy has been like my mentor, my big brother, my idol. I mean, let's be real. Like, when I talk about what I've done in the racing community, I have to give props to him. You probably hear me like recite some of the things he says all the time, but we're just going to go for this other ride. So here we go. All right, everybody. Let's see. I've given all the names that I know how to give and like talk about when it comes to this person. If you've ever seen some of my work in the last couple of weeks, you've heard me talk about the races that I plan on going to. If you can already see the sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now, it's because I went to his race a couple of years ago and it was the best thing. But I am going to just put this picture up because it is my homeboy. Like I said, the thug, the man himself, Mr. Wes Buck. Wes, what's going on today, man?
Swinging and ducking, brother. You know the deal. Swinging and ducking.
All right. So hopefully today, you know, through our process of talking, I can hear you drop all the good ones like the slew of, you know, ideas that you have and goosebumps, you know, the goosies. I always hear you say that. There we go. So Wes, people that don't know that are listening to In the Groove podcast, just explain who you are, what Drag Illustrated is, and just kind of give us the rundown of everything.
Man, well, first off, Sam, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate the warm words there to start the show. Yeah, man, my name is Wes Buck. I appreciate you having me on the show. I founded Drag Illustrated Magazine about 15 years ago now, which is a little bit weird to say out loud, with a couple of buddies, actually. And we were just some guys that loved the sport of drag racing and felt the sport didn't really get, wasn't celebrated, in my opinion, in our opinion at the time, the way that it needed to be celebrated. We looked around the sport of drag racing and we saw every sanction and series kind of had their own house organ. So, and when I say house organ, I mean in-house magazine or kind of in-house media website. And we looked at the sport of drag racing and thought to ourselves, man, where's the independent journalism? Where's the opinion, the independent thought and opinion that drives mainstream sports to where they are today? And we saw that there was a void in our industry. So we decided to step up to the plate and try to solve it ourselves. So for the last 15 years, we've dedicated ourselves to growing and building the sport of drag racing by celebrating the men and women that do it, but also leaving no stone unturned, be it that we're not, you know, associated with the NHRA or the IHRA or the PDRA or the ADRL or the NMCA or the NMRA. We're kind of free to go to whatever part of the sport of drag racing we want to go, tell whatever story we want to tell. We are beholden to no one except for the racing masses. So we're really proud of the fact that we've let our desire to serve our audience steer the ship from the onset. In 2013, I bought my partners out. It's been a long, crazy journey, but I'm really, really proud of where we're at today. And I say we're because at this point, there's about a dozen of us, dude, that work on this project all day, every day. Since that time, we've thrown parties, put on events, put on races, and everything in between. We liken ourselves here in 2021, a modern day media company where, you know, our role and our job really extends far beyond the pages of Drag Illustrated Magazine, which we still print and mail every month like we have for a decade and a half. But we've complemented that printed magazine with a daily updated website, dragillustrated.com, an ever-growing email newsletter, various social media projects. We developed a video production company, and of course we put on drag races, and we're about 40 days away from what I believe to be the best drag race ever, the CTEC World Door Slammer Nationals presented by JAG March 5th, 6th, and 7th. 2021 at Orlando Speed World. So that was a lot. I'm going to have to catch my breath, but that's the best I got for you, Sam.
Yes, and I have that down in the ticker for anybody that's watching this on YouTube or wherever you're watching it. But Wes, you know, I've got to talk about it. You've always been really, you know, positive in bringing, you know, the younger guy in, always supporting them like myself. And it just shows when we're at these races and when we're at these tracks and we're talking racing and we're doing things. But let's get down to it first and foremost. The second World Door Slammer Nationals will be happening March 5th, 6th, and 7th in Orlando Speed World. Like, you've always said it, we're going to burn this place down. What do you think is going to set year two off from year one? What is going to make year two make people even hungrier to come back and to want a piece of everything you see, the money being thrown, the gators, everything that comes with this race?
Man, well, two things I want to say. And first off, to your initial point that trying to be welcoming to young people in our sport, I think this is something, a message that a lot of people need to hear, is that drag racing has a bit of a penchant for eating our young. It's really kind of a wild thing that our sport as a whole, whether it's drivers to crew chiefs to the sanctions and series and the various officials wherein members of the media were really bad about giving cold shoulder to young people in our industry. It's a really unique thing that I don't think exists everywhere as bad as it exists in motorsports. We're a hardened bunch in a lot of ways. We're out on the road, we're up late, we're working hard, we're trying to, you know, burning the candle at both ends, chasing the drag racing dream. And I think it hardens some of us, and we forget at times what it's like to be on the come up, what it's like to not be able to get someone to answer your phone call, or not to be able to get someone to return your email, or not be able to get special treatment at XYZ race. And Sam, it means a lot to me what you said, because I was a young guy in the industry not very long ago myself, and I know exactly, I mean, here you go, goosebumps and chills, brother. I know exactly what it's like to buy a ticket, pay to park, to go to a drag race. I know what it's like to try to get someone to talk to me or to return my call. I know what it's like to be ignored. I know what it's like to be looked down on. I know what it's like to be treated as an outsider or a failure, a pending failure. I can't count the number of times I had people tell me, good luck, your good is done, no chance, all these things. So when I meet people such as yourself, Nate Van Wagenen, who fortunately now is the editor-in-chief of Drag Illustrated, Josh Hatchett, a lot of the young guys that I've met in the sport, Craig Cook, the list goes on and on and on. Young writers, Cole Rakowski, I mean, Kyle Chris, anybody that I feel that I have the opportunity to give a chance that I think deserves it, I'm going to try to give them a chance. And I'm going to give them a chance until they give me a reason not to, matter of fact, because I know it's that youth and enthusiasm that our sport lacks in a lot of ways. And that's something that is a point of pride for me, is to try to bring people in, be inclusive, not exclusive. And that's, I think it'll leave our sport in a better place than we found it. But if you want to talk about the best drag race ever, I told a friend earlier this morning, I said, it's the best drivers, the best crew chiefs, the best crews, the best cars. It's the best drag race ever. And I think that you achieve that, and I'm leaving a lot on the table there, because all those things considered, it's really all the extra stuff that makes these events special. And you mentioned it, money, the pomp and circumstance is kind of what I generalize it as. That stuff matters, man. Championship rings, big trophies, winner's circle photos, champagne, those things, DJs, that stuff matters. And what I see with the World Door Slammer Nationals, in my opinion, you know, thanks to our partners like C-Tech and Jegs, we create an experience, Sam. We create an experience for everybody that rolls through the gate, whether it's a racer, a pro-level racer, a sportsman-level racer, whether it's a sponsor, a fan, a member of the media, we create an experience. I don't think anyone will ever forget the sights and sounds and sensations of the first ever, the inaugural World Door Slammer Nationals last spring. And that's something that I will admit to you, there are many a night that I've laid awake going, man, the first one is always so special. How do you recreate that? How do you one up that? And it leaves us some work to do, my friend, but we have a group of people that are just dedicated to seeing this thing grow. We share a vision for Door Slammer Drag Racing as a marquee attraction, something that can compete with global rallycross, something that compete with motocross, something that can compete with X Games and whatever the Red Bull people decide to sponsor next, canoe racing, whatever. We're on that level. Pro Stock, Pro Mod Drag Racing, Door Slammer Drag Racing deserves to be mentioned in the same breath as those events. And I think the only way we do it is to put on events that smash of those big time happenings. So what we're trying to create in Orlando is something that feels special, feels different, feels significant. And I mean, I truly believe that we promote the best drag race. We do the best job promoting the best drag race in the industry. And I'm normally not one to be boastful like that necessarily. But by God, we work hard at this. And I don't think there are very many people that pour the time, energy, money into these things that we do. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of heavy hitters in the game, plenty of very, very, very incredible promoters. But man, I'm really proud of what we do with these drag races. And I honestly can't wait to see what happens next. The big pull this year, we added a slew of classes. We added a 10,000 to win top sportsman class, a 10,000 to win comp eliminator class, 10,000 to win factory shootout category, 10,000 to win stock super stock combo. We're going to be giving away about $350,000-$400,000 on Sunday afternoon. And I think one of the big steps we've taken is just involving more people. It's that thing I just said, inclusion, not exclusion. There's a time and place for exclusivity, no doubt. But what we wanted to accomplish in year two was get more racers involved, because that's more people posting on social, that's more people telling their friends, that's more people buying parts, that's more people that we can put in front of our sponsors. Just increasing that participation level was kind of a very, in my opinion, logical next step for us. However, I'll interject before I eventually shut up, is that you don't want these events to get too big, Sam. You know, and that is something that you have to keep in mind in terms of layout, because we have so much property, we only have so much paved parking, we only have so much time. And you've heard me say it for years on my podcast, on the pages of the magazine, that I believe drag racing needs an entertainment property. We have tons of competition sports properties, no doubt. But we don't have very many that are really designed to be entertainment first, and that's a big part of what we're trying to accomplish with the World Door Slammer Nationals. And that's what our partners expect. They don't want to be there at 4 a.m. That's not a knock. They don't want to be there at midnight. We run a tight ship. We turn cars fast. We press our racers. They know it coming in. That's what we expect of them. That's what I think they're capable of delivering. And we want a short, concise show. So you'll never see this event, at least in my opinion, for the foreseeable future, become one of these 500, 600, 700 car deals. That's just not what we're trying to do.
No, and I mean, you know, I look back over the World Series of Pro Mod, the first event that I went to, and like you said, you know, you run your race and you run it different than a lot of people. Like, you know, for myself as a media person and in the front of it, you know, you come into the race and you know, you're in Colorado for me. First time being there, you know, not doing something sports related. It was strictly business drag related. So during the day, I could go and sightsee and experience what Colorado was about. But then as soon as, you know, the later part of the day came in, now it's like, okay, go back to the hotel room, get yourself together, get out, make sure, you know, your cards are not full and you've got all your day one stuff done. Now let's
batteries are charged. Yeah.
Like, you know, so you're coming in with the four backpacks and you're like, all right, I'm here for the day, but you've got a chance to do it and everything. And that's what I like about it. Even going down to Florida last year, you know, you and I joked, and this leads into something else. We joked about it. I don't know if you remember, we're heading down to the top end of the racetrack. And we're kind of talking about the whole COVID thing, and you have the walkie talkie in your mouth and you're like, man, this is how I'm going to get COVID. And I'm like, I looked at you because I heard you say it. And I'm like, dude, drag racers, we don't get it. But you and a lot of our other friends and family in this industry have dealt with that, and it's just one of those things that, looking forward, we hope, we pray that we don't have to continue to go down this road, that we can figure everything out in this world. But I hope that you've kind of got over the mend of everything and you're starting to feel, a lot better.
Man, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember telling somebody down in Orlando, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I made a joke that, like, I thought they were talking about beer. I really didn't, I had blinders on, because when you get, and I'm almost there now, like, you get in the couple, 3 weeks before an event like, that, and you're busy. And you've got to start letting, I kind of call it the art, I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss on here, but the art of letting bad shit happen. Because sometimes when there's a big project that is a pass fail, you kind of got to let some stuff fall to the side. You may piss someone off. You may not, you may miss a call. But you're focused on doing something big. And that, unfortunately, has to happen. And I remember last year being in that moment, blinders on, first year event, new venue, all these unknowns, insane amount of things to accomplish in a very short time frame. And I had no idea that there was like a pandemic looming. Again, I would hear people talk about Corona. I knew it as a beer, a Mexican beer, and I just never paid any mind to it.
We can blame JT for that, for you thinking it's a beer.
Crazy, man. I mean, I felt stupid. I mean, admittedly, it sounds funny now, right? But at the time, I really did feel like, oh my God, how did I miss this? Because I wasn't, because when it really happened is when I started to talk to Ozzy and Maria Moya, my partners at the racetrack, Orlando Speed World, about fanfare, and we were looking at tickets and pre-sell and the phone traffic and web traffic, and we're having these conversations, and they keep going back to this, man, Corona's going to hurt us. COVID's going to hurt us. Corona. And I'm like, really? They're like, oh no. Yeah. People down here take this stuff seriously. A lot of old folks, the retirement homes, people are going to take this really seriously. And fortunately, I think we slipped by the skin of our teeth. I don't know that we were impacted too heavily by it, maybe a little bit. But not like, in my opinion, a noticeable, measurable impact. And literally, Sam, and I apologize if you've heard this story, but Sunday last year, March 6th, 7th, and 8th of 2020, I would say March 8th, outside of the birth of my kids, my wedding day was probably one of the proudest moments of my life. I mean, it's a goosebumps again. I'll never forget the feeling I had on Sunday night. After we'd crowned our champions, we'd written the checks, everybody was safe, no one was hurt, everybody was happy, the mood was good. 3 days later, man, 3 days later, the world is burning. NBA shutting down, NASCAR shutting down, NHRA shutting down. 3 days later, and it was the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And I'm with you when I say that I hope the worst of this is behind us. I'm not completely convinced that it is, but I hope so. I hope, and I do more than hope. I pray that that's the case, that this stuff's behind us. But you're right, man. Myself, there's a lot of people in the sport of drag racing at this point that have been affected by COVID. And it got me about a week, maybe, of 10 days after I got home from the NHRA national event in Las Vegas. I started feeling, not well. I got a headache, started getting kind of clammy. And I told my wife, I said, man, I bet I've got this deal. I'm almost certain I've got it. And I told her if I'm not better, feeling better, and I'm not trying to be whatever, but like, I liken myself a healthy person. I take every supplement known to man. I work out, I eat healthy as best as I can. I don't smoke, chew. You know what I mean? I try to take health and wellness seriously. Both of my parents, I don't know if you know this, are cancer survivors. And so for me, it's, I've seen both my parents fight for their lives, literally, quite literally. And I've seen how their physical fitness impacted their ability to fight that fight. And I made a commitment to myself many years ago that if I'm ever faced with that fight, I'm going to be able to fight. I'm going to be. And So I kind of thought if I was going to get COVID, I'd kind of get the Trump version. Like 2 days, pictures of me at a desk working, you know, that's what I was expecting. And I told my wife, if I'm not way better, this was like on a Saturday. I said, if I'm not way better Monday morning, I'm going to go get tested. And Monday morning came and I was worse, bro. Way worse, matter of fact. And I went to the, and again, not the type to get sick, not the type to go to the doctor. I go get the test, rapid test, 45 minutes later, phone rings, you've got COVID, you need to quarantine, this, what, you know, whatever. And I was barely able to get out of bed for 2 weeks there. Sick, lost weight, couldn't eat, debilitating headaches, debilitating body aches, and just an over a cloudiness and fatigue that I've never experienced. And I don't mean to scare anybody, but it's been almost 3 months and I'm not 1,000% convinced that I'm better. I'm way better, don't get me wrong, but I'm not convinced that I have no symptoms left. I've got my smell back. I can taste food again. But I'll tell you that I still get headaches of an evening at times. I'll develop a cough out of nowhere. I fatigue differently than I used to. I get tired in the afternoons and I don't really, I mean, hell, maybe I'm getting old, you know, that I'm sure is part of it.
I was thinking I was getting old already. So, I mean,
I feel it. And I don't know if that's what it is, man, but, and there's still, I've heard people say, and this sounds so silly to say out loud, but COVID brain, forget stuff, forget what I'm doing. And it's scary. I mean, I'll be honest. I think this is scary. I mean, I'm not, again, I'm as right wing and conservative as they come. I'm a small business owner, all these things. But I'll tell you, man, I don't think it's anything that we can take lightly or people should take lightly. I've lost family members. My wife's uncle died a couple weeks ago from COVID complications. It's a real deal, man. And I wish anyone that gets it the best. And I think you got to take care of yourself. I really do. Got off on a little bit of a tangent there. I apologize.
No, we're if you know Wes Buck or if you follow him on anything, sometimes that just happens and you got to let that happen. But one thing we will do, Wes, is break to one of our sponsors right now. Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slam and Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
Can't thank Mad Bro Motorsports and the gang. That is myself, Slam and Sam. So I'm gonna play this clip here for Wes. This is a clip that I got from you last year down at the Door Slammer race here. It's just a clip kind of a review of the first night.
Wes,
yes sir.
Reactions of today.
Oh man, hell of a day today. Man, again, like, I'm so blessed to be surrounded by such incredible people, because I've said this a lot, and people are going to get tired of hearing it, but a little over 80 days ago, this was literally notes on a cocktail napkin, and to be here now with 30-some-odd pro mods and 18 pro stock cars, a world of sportsman cars, a slew of sponsors, and a ton of fans already, it's Friday, right? I mean, and it's, I couldn't be any happier, man. We had big runs, the quickest EFI run in the history of Pro Stock. Greg Anderson, number one qualifier.
And you just happen to be standing by their trailer.
And to, like, think that Greg Anderson's at my race is just stupid.
So, like, listening back to that, hearing that, what did that feel like, you know, kind of looking back over that moment? How did that feel to have a person like Greg Anderson, Jason Lyne, Erica, I mean, everybody that was there, how did that feel for you? Oh, there it is. There it is.
A, I kind of miss my beard. But B, man, I still have goosebumps. They're prolonged. And I'd say cheesy, and sometimes I feel cheesy when I say this stuff, but man, I'm like the biggest drag racing fan in the world. And at the root, at the foundational level, I love this stuff so much. And when I think about, I got a call the other day from Woody Woodruff at JEGS, the director of motorsports marketing at JEGS, and he was telling me that they print a copy of the cover of every catalog they do at JEGS, the mail order company, and they hang it. It's about 8 feet wide, he said, and I think 10 feet tall. And he wanted to take the cover of Drag Illustrated, and they were going to hang it up in the JEGS corporate offices in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm thinking about the cover of Drag Illustrated with Jed Coughlin Jr. on it for having won the race that we put on. It's really hard to put it into words, Sam, because it's just, it seems, I mean, I can't tell you the people I used to call and beg to come to Eddyville, Iowa to race. And people that have long since quit racing or whatever. And I think about the fact that we've had races where Erica Enders, Jed Coughlin, Greg Anderson, Jason Line. I mean, just this is big time, man. There's no bigger names in drag racing. I mean, in door slammer racing, obviously. But I would argue they're real superstars in our sport and legends. Whenever I get, like, I'll get a text from someone like Greg Anderson, and I almost pee a little. Like, it's stupid, you know, because I just think about, it wasn't that long ago, man. And it's honestly, there are some times that I get down and I'll get bent out of shape about stuff. And I think about all how far we've come, what this group of people has accomplished, our place in the sport. It seems impossible. It seems like it could be a book or a movie. Because this is like a kid that grew up, you know, collecting baseball cards, literally putting on the World Series. Does that make sense? I mean, that's literally, oh, yeah. I'm a kid who went racing with my dad. Literally, I dropped out of college. I barely made it through high school. I have no formal training, nothing. I was a kid collecting baseball cards, basically. I went to the races. I had hero cards. I got autographs. I worked on a car any chance I got to be on a team or to go racing with somebody. I took it, whether I knew what I was doing or not. Any way that I could get to the racetrack, I would go. And I probably took some years off my life grinding the way we grinded. But to be here now where, you know, we're putting on what I believe to be one of the biggest independent drag races on the planet Earth. It's unbelievable, bro. I mean, it's literally unbelievable.
No, I mean, like I said, it's crazy to see and, you know, to hear your story. You and I, we have a personal connection, and anybody that's listening to this podcast, I don't care what you think. And when I'm going to say this is you and I have a personal relationship, and there's a, you know, you talk about how unique those experiences are. And you know, we have this inside joke for the people that do know is number six. And I came out with t-shirts that said that, and people are like, oh my God. And it's like, you know, these people that, like you said, that you're hustling and grinding with and you're calling and you're texting. I know I blow up your phone all the time. Like I do, because I have questions. You know, I'm wondering, I'm like, hey, do you need more Dots pretzels? Do you need this? What can I do? I'm kind of pissed that you guys didn't get your Christmas gift in time, but you got it way after. But
but thank you.
Well, I
so much.
Don't let your wife listen to this, but I'll bring you another one in March. Okay. I'll bring you a bigger one in March. But but you know, it's family, and we get so caught up in racing and what we're doing and how we want to grow, but I'm going to just honestly say it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you guys, what you've done for me, and what, you know, your wife and your family dealing with me asking you questions it's honestly just like when I get a text from you sometimes, and, or, you know, on Competition Plus, we're doing all these interviews with these people, and I'm sitting back. And if you look at my camera roll, it's me being a fangirl as I'm talking to Antron Brown, or, you know, we had Roy Hill, Pat Musi on the same show. And it's like how a guy like me that was a peon in California went to the Army and then moved up here, and I like drag race. Like, how am I getting blessed to have these opportunities? So that's why for me, it's like, man, like, this guy is like paved the way for me to follow down these footsteps and continue to go and pretty much continue to grow. But you're always doing something. Obviously, you're in Texas now. You moved to Texas. You're living the best life out there. And I can honestly say it, the greatest state, even though I live in North Dakota. But my family's all Texans and Louisiana. It's where I want to get back home to. Hint, hint. But
you got to come back.
You let me know when. I will pack up the trailer and I am on my way. Like, this snow that's falling, it's like 2 degrees outside. And, you know, I love North Dakota for the hunting and, you know, the space, but I do miss my sunshine. So how,
man,
tell us about Kings Ridge, your team with Drag Illustrated. Like, what's kind of going on now, 38 days out from the best day I'm looking forward to?
Well, hey, man, you and me both. Really, well, hey, again, thank you, man. And I hope people know that it's not lost on me, like, that how special this is and how lucky we are. I get, in these moments, I get a little ashamed of myself of ever having had a bad day, you know, because at the end of the day, we're truly blessed to be able to. The fact that I get to work in racing is, I mean, I remember walking out of high school and all my friends, they were going to college or they had these very defined career paths. And people would tell me ask me, what am I going to do? And I was going to go drag racing somehow, some way. And I encourage anybody who cares strongly about something, is passionate about something, is willing to put themselves out there and have a voice or develop a voice, let their thoughts and feelings be known, man, forge forward, because content is king. And great content is like king of the universe, you know? And it's, there's always room for a little bit more, man. I really believe that. And drag racing, I will tell you and anybody else that's listening, is, man, turn the camera around, point it at yourself, you know, answer some questions, do podcasts, go live. I've been slipping just because I've been busy, but I've made a commitment to get back on the horse. But it's just, drag racing needs more of this, because that's some of, you know, if you look, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a sideways way here, but if you look at like what happened this past weekend with the NFL, right? These two games were the center of the universe, right? Two football games are the center of the universe.
Who were you cheering for?
I challenge people.
Who did you cheer for?
Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs. We're Chiefs fans. We're
you
from
and
Missouri,
JT.
So
you,
yeah,
and
man, we're big time Chiefs fans. JT's the ultimate Chiefs fan, and I'm not even remotely. I'm not on the same planet as he's on in terms of fandom. But I just do. I challenge people. I mean, ask yourselves, where would those sports be without all those talking heads, all those people that are willing to say what they think and let you call them names and argue with them on Twitter? Those people provide an invaluable service to stick and ball sports. And I mean, if I look at a hand, there's obviously a multitude of differences between motorsports or drag racing specifically and mainstream stick and ball sports. But I will say, man, there's just more people willing to talk out loud, talk in front of the camera, talk on a radio station about those sports than there are drag racing. Over here, we're all good old boys and salt of the earth people, and no one wants to hurt anyone's feelings. No one wants to put their opinion out there. No one wants to burn a bridge. There's two things. That's a scarcity mentality. That's people that are afraid, right? And two, that the sport can't grow when we operate in that scarcity mentality, that's the last sponsor we're ever going to get. So we better not do anything that could run them off, because that's the last sponsor that's ever going to sponsor drag racing. Bull crap. That's not true. And if you look at other sports, and it's people that are willing to be themselves, put themselves out there, let people get to know them, let people in, let people learn about them. That's how those sports grow. So I whenever I see people like yourself, our buddy, the Monday Morning Racer, the list goes on, Limo Guy, there's all sorts of people in our industry that are trying. Kyle Crist, I wish Kyle would get on camera a little more, you know, or at all. Some of these guys have opinions. They are well-spoken. They're smart kids. You know, say what you think. You know, put it out there and live with the consequences. Because you know what? You're going to probably upset somebody. You're going to definitely have people disagree with you. But I believe those other sports, they're built on the back of that conversation, right? And for the longest time, I was the only one having a public conversation about drag racing. Yeah. I mean, really, for years, yeah. I was the only person doing it. I'm not trying to like take credit. I'm just saying that I was the only person willing to have it. I was the only one doing it.
It's true. Because
there became more.
Yes. If you look at, like, I love it. I still do. On Wednesdays, I'm like, where in the hell is fucking Wes at? Like, I'm looking at my phone like, hey, it's PM. Like, here we go. Where's Wes? Like, it used, you know, for me, that was my church.
We're coming back.
That I'm not even gonna lie to you. That was like my church. It was like, dude, I knew on Wednesday Wes was gonna go on and tell us as it is, right? And then Corona hit, and then you notice like the Caruso family started doing it. Lee and I both, you know, it you prompted me at the Door Slammers. You said Sam.
Well, and Bobby Bennett. Yeah, Bobby Bennett had done a show earlier on and I did. I told you in Orlando, do it.
You said do it.
Do it.
Why not? And then it's like I flew back. I came back, and then it's like everything shut down. It's like, you know what? Why not? Take the risk. If people are going to listen to you, they're going to risk. Now, look, I'm on Competition Plus Power Hour speaking every Tuesday about drag racing because I took the risk. But when you said that we don't have enough controversy talking, it brought up another topic that I didn't even have written down. And I've heard you kind of talk about this. But when people get mad at Donald Long for what he does and how he comes out and just says it how it is. People get mad at him because they're not used to that type of interaction in the racing industry. Do you think that in some ways hurts him, or do you think in some ways it promotes his events a little bit better because people are like, well, potentially what is he going to say next and what's going to happen next?
Well, I think it's a great question. And it's a question that I actually get asked a lot. And I would say that, hey, listen, you can't just add MF-er to the end of every sentence and be a successful race promoter, right? And I think that that's sometimes people think that's what it is, right? What Donald does, or what Donald did, I think, exceptionally well, and there was I think even he would admit there was a moment in time where the stars and moon were aligning, where he had Stevie Fast Jackson and he had Keith Berry and he had Mark Mickey. And I'm just trying to say he had these guys that were willing to play the part, willing to pipe up, willing to say a little something, right? And they're all racing different cars. And there was a lot of stars and moon aligning. But Donald was never afraid to shy away from what he thought. Now, I will say there's a character there, and I put on a character. I mean, when you see me at home tonight, I promise you I'm not like this, right? I mean, I'm pretty wound up most all the time, but I actually I need extended periods of downtime. Like, I need extended periods of quiet to be able to kind of turn it on a moment's notice. But guy, what Donald's doing, it's a caricature of yourself. It's kind of this over-the-top version of yourself. And he has done a masterful job, in my opinion, of building a brand, building a name for himself. And he did that in the Howard Stern way. These things are not totally rocket science. A lot of them is just showing up is more than half the battle. And that's what Donald does, is he showed up. He said what he thought. I mean, if you look back at some of this stuff, it's crude, right? It's rough around the edges. It's not like he's working with some New York marketing firm. You know, this is him saying what he thinks. He's a radio racing guy, and he thinks radio racing is better than everybody else and better than every other type of racing, and that is what has driven the bus. I mean, if you look at someone, you've probably heard me talk about this before, but there has to be a charismatic leader, right? The way Christianity has Jesus Christ, the way the Nazis had Hitler, the way affirmative action had Martin Luther King Jr., the way Apple and technology had Steve Jobs, Radio Racin has Donald the Duck Long. And that's a very big connection to make there. I'm putting in Donald in some pretty elite company. But my point is that somebody has to be waving the flag. Someone has to be out front preaching the good word of whatever it is that you're doing. And I think Radio Racin has benefited infinitely from that guy out front. I feel that I have in a lot of ways been that guy for Pro Mod and in recent years, Pro Stock Door Slammer Drag Racing. I'll call it Big Tire Door Slammer Drag Racing. Pro Nitrous, Pro Boost, Pro Stock, Pro Mod, Mountain Motor Pro Stock. These are my people. Top sportsmen. These are my people. Comp Eliminator. These are my guys and gals. And I've tried to lead the charge for them. And I really think that that's what Donald has done. And I encourage promoters to find your way, but it has to be authentic. I've seen people try to replicate what Donald does, and they're not a gold chain wearing, broad shoulder having, willing to get in a fist fight guy like Donald Long, and it doesn't work, right? I mean, you got to remember early on, Donald Long and Lenko Jim were having arm wrestling competitions and bench press competitions at their races. These are guys that are rough around the edges, right? Oh. So when their character is wild and crazy and loud and outspoken, it works, right? I don't think I could do that, right? Everybody calls me, they call me a pretty boy and
Time out.
I don't think I could pull it off.
Time out. But you have your own persona. What other guy are you going to see? Very, very well built, rocking Yeezys on the starting line at a drag race. You're not going to see that much other places than Wes walking through the staging lane rocking Yeezys. Like,
well, thank you. And I've told people that it's stuff like that. It's little things. And my thing was always dressing nice. I took a lot of shit for it early on because I'd show up at the racetrack wearing shiny black shoes, slacks, a polo, shirt tucked in. I looked like I was dressed to do business. And couple of things. I had a very early mentor of mine, not one of my best mentors, to be honest, but an early one, and I got to give him some credit. He told me one time, we were joking about what a guy should wear to the racetrack. We were getting Drag Illustrated off the ground. And, you know, it's funny. I was thinking kind of how I grew up, and I'm thinking, man, I should probably get some, like, Carpenter jeans and, like, a Dickies work shirt and have a shop bag out of my back pocket. You mean, like, maybe I should go and, like, look like I'm the guy that'll work on a car if I need to. And he said to me, he goes, if I were you, I'd just smell like money. And I thought, huh. He's like, man, I just dress nice. You're there to do business. And I'm like, you know what? It's true. Drag racing is my business, and I'm going to treat those tracks like boardrooms. This is where I go to earn my living. This is how I feed my family. So you're damn straight. I'm dressed nice. I'm here to do business. And that kind of became my calling card. People make fun of my socks or my shoes or whatever. But I stuck with it, and I still do. And I've encouraged people along the way, whether it's the red Amy Miller, wear the hat. Don't ever not wear that hat. Josh Ledford, do not stop growing that beard, right? JT Hudson, wear that flat bill hat. I think those things are important, man. Those little things that you can become known for that can be part of that character that you're trying to create. So, you know, in this day and age, man, your personal brand is a big deal. I mean, you look at some of the wealthiest, most powerful people on the planet, they take their brand seriously. I mean, I don't know that there's a better example than maybe Donald Trump. I mean, golly, he turned a hat into something that, I don't know, maybe divided nation, right? Kim Kardashian comes to mind. You know, these people that their brand, all the little things they were known for, it's incredible, man. So I encourage people to kind of own those things. You know, you don't blend in, you know, don't try to blend in, you know, try to stand out. And there's going to be some bad, but not nowhere near the good from that comes from that type of thing. I think a Kyle Lang, the PDRA starter with the socks and the cigar and the American flag in his back pocket. There are just those things that people become recognized for. And you can, there's multiple levels to it, right? How far you want to take it. I think Donald Long has taken it to the extreme, the fur coat, the chain, the glasses, all the things that he's done. But it's worked, man. It's worked. And I think what we all run into, and you mentioned it right at the beginning of the show, is just like, how do you level it up? How do you keep it fresh? How do you renew that energy often, you know, often enough to keep people entertained over the long haul, keep people invested over the long haul. So, but that is a long answer to your great question, Sam. But yeah, I don't think it's as simple as cussing people out or calling people names. There's a lot more to it than that, but an authentic perspective goes a long way.
All right, what's up, everybody? We've all been in the shop and we have those tools that we just don't like to use. Well, I've got a solution for that. Go over to powerbuilt.com and use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15% while you're doing it. I mean, it's easy. I'm talking high quality and durable tools. Lifetime warranty. So if you break it, it breaks, or just something happens, you send it back. No questions asked. Proven performance. I'm talking people in the NHRA and everywhere else are using these tools. So why don't you go over to powerbuilt.com right now, use product code 15 at checkout and save yourself 15%. Again, product code MADBRO15, save 15%. Yes, and we cannot thank Powerbuilt Tools enough for what they've done for us. But, you know, your team there, Nate, JT, Mike, everybody like that, like, you have a group behind you that, hey, if something happens or, hey, Wes is sick, Wes has gone on vacation, can't answer his phone, whatever, you have built your team and your surroundings with people that will keep that ball rolling. But, you know, it's just unbelievable. But first of all, do you have an update of how Mr. Carpenter's doing? Have you talked to Mike just to kind of let us know how he's doing, how he's been?
Absolutely, man. Well, and thank you. I can't say enough about the group of people around me. It's, I mean, from my wife and my kids to my business partners, and everybody that's involved with this deal. It's pretty incredible. I don't think I realized how special it is. Just in terms of people that genuinely care about each other, this week historically is the start of the SEMA Motorsports Parts Manufacturers Council in Los Angeles. Unfortunately, this year, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, fortunately, they're still having it, albeit entirely virtual. Normally, every year this late January, I'm in sunny Southern California, enjoying the company of a ton of people in our industry. But this came to light this morning in a meeting. We were talking about how we were looking at our schedule of all the companies we were going to meet with. And I'm not trying to call anybody out here, but it was just so funny. You look at these company names and, oh, I've never seen that name before. Who's that person? And who's that person? And who's that person? And I thought they worked here and I thought they worked there. And there's a lot of churn in our industry and there's a lot of, you know, musical chairs that are played, people that are in and out, in and out. And it's sometimes I find it tiresome. And it makes me super proud of the fact that we have zero turnover with our companies. It's the people that join this movement, join a movement. They're committed. We have zero turnover. I honestly don't know that I can think of anybody that doesn't work for us, that, you know, work for me that didn't start out. You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes no sense. That has left. And I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that we have next to zero turnover, people that are committed. Mike Carpenter, you mentioned Mike's dad, Charles. Mike doesn't get near the credit he deserves. Mike is, without Mike Carpenter, none of this shit would exist. None of it. None. Mike's my best friend. I don't know if people know that. Mike has been my best friend for like for 15 years almost. You know? And we were in each other's weddings. I love him like a brother. And no matter whatever happened in racing or in business or whatever, that'll never change. And Mike and I have been through thick and thin together, a lot of personal tragedies, a lot of pain. But we've also worked ourselves damn near blind. And Mike was that guy that was always beside me 72 hours in. I mean, early on, not even that long ago, we would work 2, 3, 4 days without sleep. We'd hey, I'll take a shower. You keep working. And then when I get back, you take a shower. I'm talking brutal, not for the faint of heart stuff. We made decisions and sacrifices that we ought to have our asses kicked for. It's funny because all the stuff that happens on social media, Mike's kind of a behind the scenes guy. And he just doesn't get the recognition in this whole program that he deserves because he shares my vision. Mike's always been, we are a weird yin and yang thing. We're different in a lot of ways. But we see things very, very, very similarly. And I'm telling you, since I remember, I think the first time I ever, I wanted Mike is a graduate of the University of North Carolina with a degree in graphic design. And he's, in my opinion, amongst the most talented technical graphic artists that I've ever met in my life. And I wanted Mike to design a layout in the magazine for us. And this has been around 2006, I believe, the spring of 06, maybe the spring of 07. I wanted Mike to design this layout in a magazine for, we were doing a cover story on a little known drag racer at the time named Alexis DeJoria. We had shot some photos of her at the NHRA national event in Dallas, and we wanted to put her on the cover, and I wanted to impress her dad, to be honest. I was trying to see if I could maybe get Patron to advertise or maybe get them to buy some copies of the magazine or something because I was broke. And I wanted to impress her dad. So I knew we needed to ramp up the design of the layout. So I hit up Mike to do it. And I'll never forget, I sketched it on a yellow legal pad, kind of how I wanted it to look. And I took pictures of it and sent it to him. Actually, back then, I think I scanned it and sent it to him. And he literally sent me the layout. And it was literally exactly as I'd seen it in my head. And from that point on, that's pretty much how it all works. I mean, I would tell you that I literally sketched that World Door Slammer Nationals logo with the shifter. I sketched it. I screen grabbed it, and I sent it to Mike, and he sends me back the logo. Exactly how it is right now, exactly how I wanted it. No tweaks. I mean, it's crazy, the connection that guy and I have. No tweaks, no adjusting it, nothing. I mean, done. And he sent it to me, he goes, how's this? And I said, done. Perfect. And I don't mean to talk too much about it. I was just trying to make a point that Mike never gets the tag. He never gets the mention on Facebook. And I'm like, dude, none of this stuff. He designs almost every page of the magazine. He is a part of the vision and creating vision and executing the vision every step way. And Scott Dorman, Will Mandel, a couple of other heroes of our company that are our main salespeople. Scott's the publisher of Drag Illustrated Magazine, and Will is our national sales executive. They crush it, man. The amount of revenue these two men create it's really incredible, especially considering the size of our industry, not a huge industry. They do a monumental job for me. JT, you mentioned Nate and Josh. It's incredible, their editorial, their ability to get it done. I push hard. I move fast. I expect a lot. I'm probably not vocal about that enough. I liken myself a pretty easygoing guy, but when I reflect on it, I'm pretty intense, and I like things to be done a certain way, and they do it. It's unreal, the level to which Nate and Josh execute. It's hard for me to talk about this sometimes, but I think I know the demo of the people who listen to this is when you're in business, the hardest thing is letting go because I want to do it all. I want my DNA, my fingerprints all over everything we do, but you can't grow that way. You can't sustain that way. You can't have any quality of life that way. And I begrudgingly admit that I'm an idea guy. I like to steer the ship. I like to say what I think we should be doing. And I'll point which direction we're going, and they go. And I have to do a lot for beyond that. Our team, I got to mention Nancy and Caroline. I didn't mean to turn this into a thank you, but hey, Nancy and Caroline are, dude, these people need to know this stuff because it's like Wes is the one on camera. Wes is the one always getting interviewed. But I feel like Tom Brady yesterday afternoon when everybody's like, hey, ask Wes a question. And he's like, man, can someone just interview someone else standing behind me? Because we're screwed without those people, you know? And what we do requires a lot of people, a lot of coordination. And I'm really lucky with Drag Illustrated. And I think the success Drag Illustrated and everything else that I do, whether it's our racing endeavors, our video, our media production company, Kings Ridge Media, our business, Elite HP, that I'm a partner in. Elite HP is a race car, kind of a secondhand, high-end secondhand parts store down here in Fort Worth, Texas. I can only hope those businesses arrive where Drag Illustrated is. Is Drag Illustrated the biggest business in the world? No. Is it crazy profitable? No. Could it be more profitable? Could it be bigger? No. Or yes, yes, excuse me. But man, I can only hope these other endeavors I have get to where they work as well during good times and bad as this group of people I have at Drag Illustrated. So I'm blessed, and I appreciate you bringing them up. To conclude that, Charles Carpenter on the mend, long road ahead of him, unfortunately. These fans, his wife and kids, and they have been through a tremendous amount. This guy has lost mom, lost sister, lost, you know, and now has a dad. That's fighting recover from a very serious stroke, and I'm blown away by their strength and their mental toughness to just maintain the demeanor they have, the good spirit that they have. Mike and Lisa are incredible parents. Charles, despite struggling to get the left side of his body to work, remains endlessly optimistic and positive. And those are people to model your life after. It's incredible.
No, thank you for that update. You know, I know each week on the Competition Plus with Bobby Bennett, we mention it just because, like you said, the racing community, we're so big, but yet we're so small when it comes down to everything. You mentioned Kings, and then also I have to another thank you for introducing me to Bobby. Formerly at PRI, would have been 2019, and everything.
I remember that.
Yes, and I knew I spoke with Nate about it this year. One of my biggest things was to get into the Drag Illustrated 30 under 30. Like, when you reach, it's like one of those things when you look at the people that are there before me, you look at the John Docs that are on YouTube. You look at, the Alex Laughlins and all the other names that are there. It's like, okay, what did they do to get to that point? And then what have they done after? It's not like, well, I achieved this and that was it. It was like that was just another stepping stone or another notch in their belt for them to continue to do something and, broaden their career. So I know for me, it's like, okay, like this is a goal. I am now 30. So it's like, all right, but you know what? Like, it's still one of those things that's like, you know what? I worked towards this. So now what's the next thing that I need to work towards? But when you bring up King Ridge Media, tell us, we're all in the media world. What's the plan for King Ridge in 2021? Your team there, what do you guys got on the grill there?
And Kings Ridge it's really been an interesting thing that it felt like a logical, well, there's a couple reasons. A lot of people ask me about Kings Ridge Media, like, what is that or whatever? Why didn't you just do that through Drag Illustrated? And a lot of it was because I had a vision for creating an outside agency that could handle motorsports or drag racing or automotive specific content creation. But I didn't want to be, I didn't want to come out with, Drag Illustrated video or RPM content. I didn't want to get painted into a corner with motorsports because one of the things that this is just my personal opinion. I don't know that it's necessarily true or false, but many of the people, one of the things that I've noticed over a lifetime spent in drag racing is that the people who've made their fortunes inside the sport of drag racing are few and far between. However, a lot of the people that spend their fortune inside the sport of drag racing have made that fortune in other industries. And I knew that one of my goals with Drag Illustrated Magazine all those years ago was to build a network, was to build a network of people, a Rolodex, if you will, of people that I could do business with or create businesses with or find ways to do business with later in life. And I knew that, you know, if Drag Illustrated wasn't necessarily a business that made $1 million a year profit or something, it's a business that would, it was a vehicle to connect me with people and give me an opportunity to work with people that I knew had resources or big businesses outside of the sport of drag racing. So part of my vision for Kingsridge Media was to, of course, create racing content because that's the low-hanging fruit. That's my backyard. But I wanted to be in a position where I could go into other spaces, whether that was, you know, outdoors or there's a lot of stuff that I'm a general interest guy. Drag racing is my passion. Cars are my primary passion. But I like a lot of things. I like red wine. I like, country music. I like rap music. I like outdoor events. I like anything, really. The only thing I did recently find out that I don't like ice skating.
Come on.
I digress.
Come on.
I hate that.
Dude, I ref hockey.
I've never hated anything.
I ref hockey.
Ice skating's hard. I sweat through my shirt. Literally, my ankles hurt, my feet hurt, and now I was in some janky rental skate thing.
Oh, man.
But I told my kids, there's few things I won't do, kiddos, but I will never ice skate again. But my point is that I just wanted to have the opportunity to work with new people, do new stuff, you know? And I was fortunate enough to bring some people into the project, Courtney Enders, namely, Dion Walrath, Blake Fontenelle, some people, Mike Carpenter is my partner in the company. It's that shared that vision and shared a vision for getting outside of motorsports. You know, we love it here and we want to be here forever. But I knew that if I wanted this company to kind of go where I felt it could go, we needed to get outside the guardrails, right? We're in between the guardrails, and I knew there was opportunity out there. And that's what I'm really focused on in 2021. We have some racing-related projects that we're going to continue to do. We're going to be working with the PDRA again in 2021. I'm very excited about that. I thought we left a lot on the table in regards to content creation for the PDRA. Just COVID. It was a fight. It was a fight to staff. It was a fight. Everything was a fight in 2020. Changing flight, everything was a moving target, and it was tough. It was really, really, really tough. So I'm really excited to work with the PDRA in 2021, Tyler Crossnow, Tommy and Judy Franklin. I think we're going to be able to do some really cool stuff over there. We're also going to continue doing a lot of in-house media for JEGS, as well as the Elite Motorsports family of companies, Elite Performance, Elite HP. We got a lot of cool stuff going on over there. And we'll be covering Erica throughout 2021. And we've got some cool shop tour content. But what we really want to do is we're content creators. We're storytellers. We like to do cool shit. And we're going to do as much of it as possible in 2021. We actually have a video shoot we're doing tomorrow at a really, really, really high-end housing development. On Possum Kingdom here, one of the best known lakes in North Texas. We've got some really cool stuff going on. We've moved into real estate a little bit. We're doing some projects for some outdoors place, working with some gun companies. It's exciting. It's new stuff. It's new people. I love meeting new people. I love doing new stuff, learning things. And this has been, that's kind of part of that plan, is to always have a home base in the sport of drag racing and motorsports in general, but be well outfitted to do whatever needs to be done.
And so with all this new gun stuff, this Texas theme, can I convince you to go hunting?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I believe I've told you that I'm not a hunting guy, right? Not an outdoors guy. I had a very, and you go back to the you know, pinch yourself, is this stuff really happening moments that happen a lot. A few weeks ago, I was invited out to Mahalik Ranch. I don't know if the name Jason Mahalik's familiar to you. He was a big name, radial tire, small tire racer here in Texas. Did the deal, went out, built the screw-blown Corvette that Alex Laughlin is known for driving now. It was black at that time. The three and the freeze at Tyler Crossnoe's Outlaw Streetcar Reunion in Memphis. Won the Streetcar Super Nationals. Lots of success down in Valdosta at Donald Long's events. And an all-around great guy based out of Texas. He has a ranch in Concan, which is in far west Texas, in Texas Hill Country, they call it, which I'm learning these things. And he invited, by way of Tommy Kundrick, the motorsports marketing manager at Mickey Thompson Tires. Tommy has become a big outdoorsman, a big-time hunter, and he told myself and my partner Marty Robertson that he was over at Concan and we should come see him. And I thought, let's go. And we literally drove over there. I thought it was like an hour away, but it was 5 hours away. Texas will do that to you. It looked closer than that on the map, you know, just at a glance. But turns out it was a long ways away. But we drove over to Concan, Texas, and spent about 36 hours, not a trip, on, I think, a 1,000-acre private ranch with hills and trees and cabins and zebras and antelope, I think, and other deer and wild stuff. All the goats, sheep. I don't think goats, sheep, all sorts of animals, right? And I'm telling you, Sam, there was a moment that happened. It was about 10, 11 o'clock at night. We were sitting out on the front deck of this incredible, I guess you call it like cabin, right? It's like a big home that Jason had built to entertain guests. And they cut off all the lights, and there's a fire going, but they cut off all the lights in the house and the outdoor lights. And I'm telling you, I've never seen the sky like that. I've never seen stars like that. And it did something to me. I sounded like a fruitcake, but I've never been an outdoor guy. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. I call a Hampton camping, right? Like a Hampton Inn, that's like camping. It's a camping trip, right? And I say that jokingly, okay? Calm down. But, you know, I've never been an outdoors guy. You know, I go outdoors when I'm at the racetrack, right? And that experience really impacted me. We shot guns. We drove around this property on four-wheelers and side-by-sides and cruised around at night looking for stuff. And I just thought, I could do this for the rest of my life. It was a spectacular experience. And I honestly, I'll go hunting, man. I intend to go back to Concan here sometime soon. They're dying for me to shoot some exotic animal. I can't remember what it was called.
Just
black buck, maybe.
Yeah. Black buck. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to do this but it was an incredible experience. I know that's not hunting.
No, like it is.
My family back home in Missouri would say is hunting. But I connected with the outdoors in a way that I'd never had previously.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. And like, that's like me, you know, I shoot coyotes, I shoot deer with rifle and bow. I got a buddy he's trying to convince me to ice fish. But my thing is, like, if I fall through the water, there's 16 inches of ice that I got to try to punch through. So I'd just rather go on the lake when it's hot and I can jump in and jump
out. I'm out.
Yeah. So yeah, like, he's
I'm
like,
out on that.
You know, and he does videos and stuff too. And he's like, man, it'd just be awesome to record you. And I'm like, dude, I will take a snowmobile across the lake in the middle of the summer. No problem. I'll drive across the lake, like on the snowmobile. It's frozen. I'll drive. But there's no way I'm sitting inside a heated house with heat, food, satellite TV, and an open hole and hearing the ice crack. And I just, no. But now that I know that, I have family that they have my uncle's got a lot of land in Houston, so I'll come up to Texas, we'll go over to Houston, and I can legally bring my guns there that I own up here, and, you know, we can shoot some stuff. But
dude, you know what I think I like about it, and I think that this is something, this is going to be a great way to bookend this whole thing, is it's like fellowship, being around people, connecting with people, people that share a common interest or are just good souls, good humans, it's invaluable. I think we're learning that during COVID, how important human connectivity is, human connection is. We got probably more alcoholics than we've ever had, more depressed people than we probably ever had. We got more suicides probably than we've ever had. And I can't help but feel like that all points back to a lack of human connection, man. And I think that's what's so cool about drag racing. I think that's why I love our sport so much is because all those things you're talking about, and you just bring people together that share a common interest. Doesn't matter where you're from, what part of the country, what part of the world, what race, creed, or color. We all enjoy these cars. We all enjoy being together and talking about them and watching them and working on them. And it's a really incredible thing, man. And that's, I think that's what I'm most excited about when it comes to the fast approaching SeaTac World Door Slammer Nationals presented by JEGS. Because I'm going to get to hang out with all my homies.
And it's so weird. Like, you know, people are like racing. I'm like, dude, when you're at a racetrack, nothing else in the world matters. I don't care if you're pink, orange, yellow, magenta, like you said. Dude, we're all there to smash the loud pedal, and that does save lives. All right, going into this race, 38 days away, I need your predictions.
You're kind of doing the Dana White.
Yeah.
I don't like to pick the winners of this stuff, you know? I want to say that I wish they all won. Few of these people really understand how much it means to me personally that I've done this. I've put up awnings. I've laid on my back. I've drove all night. I've done these things, and I've spent my own money on stuff. I've blown up motors. I drove all night. I've spent myself silly on next day air. I've done so many of these things, and I can't tell these people, these racers, how much it means to me that they come. You know, it. I'll never be able to thank them all adequately. You know. The best I can do in this moment is let them race for big money, the money they deserve, in front of big crowds, with big prestige, big pomp and circumstance, and an experience they'll never forget. But I wish they would all win. Damn it, Sam, I really do. I wish.
That's a large
payout.
I thought
about that last year. Yeah, that'd be a big payout, bro. I remember being at the final, and I'm thinking last year, it's Greg Anderson and Jed Coughlin. I wish they both would win. You know, it's so crazy to me. I thought about Alex Laughlin and Todd Cutterell. These two dudes I've known for a hot minute, you know, and it's just, I felt it broke my heart that anybody had to lose. I will tell you, Jed Coughlin, it is not official, but it is my sincere hope and belief that we will be blessed with Jed returning to defend his title. He has retired from full-time pro stock competition, but I am working hard to ensure, much like Dana White's trying to get Khabib to come back, I'm working hard to get Jed Coughlin back in that yellow and black Camaro to defend his crown. I think it would be a tragedy for that not to be the case. This event needs that kind of rich history. It needs tradition. That's why we don't change the date. That's why we do things the same, because you build equity. You build equity in those things. I think it's very Elite looked so good in late 2020. It's no secret that Richard Freeman is my partner in the race. He's one of my closest confidants and closest friends. It's a very well-known thing. But he also knows that I'm a fan of the sport, and my allegiance by and large lies with the sport of drag racing. I think Erica, given all things equal, I think she's the best driver in pro stock. I think with Jeg out of the way, potentially, it really increases her chances. I think Erica is going to be a player. I think she will be a problem. I also look for TJ Coughlin. This is a kid dedicated to the craft. Good race car, good people around him. Ricky Jones, crew chiefing on that car in 2021. That's going to be a tough group right there. Obviously there are some hitters, you know, people that surprise, like guys like Matt Hartford. He was number one qualifier in Orlando. Ultimately he is fast. They run good, and he does a good job driving. He's one of them guys that'll make you earn it a lot. So I would say that, there's a lot of them. Greg Anderson, I'm sure, will be out with a vengeance. I think Kyle Koretsky is a sleeper agent out here. I think he's someone that guys, I don't think they're looking past him anymore after how well he ran in Vegas to end the year. But he's going to be a threat out here. So, but I got to say that considering the way the season ended, the fact that I think an elite car won almost every race last year in NHRA Pro Stock, like an elite fielded car won almost every single race. I think they're the toughest deal in Pro Stock. So I think it's pick of the litter in that camp. Any of them can get the job done. It's going to be a hell of a drag race though, because that final 648 with a 5 or a 648 with a 4, I expect similar. I expect that kind of performance, Sam. Pro Mod, I got to tell you, I think that we've got a problem. Not a problem. These Pro Charge cars are fast. I see what they do in testing. I'm too close to the situation in some. I hear stuff when, you know, private information that wasn't meant to be public. I know what these cars run. I think that I would not be at all surprised to see a Pro Charger car in the winner's circle. I know that you've obviously got Mark Caruso and Tommy DeAprile coming down. We're going to have a lot of, I mean, every Jason Scruggs, every real player in Pro Mod will likely be in Orlando. So that's another one, man. It's going to be a pick'em. It's going to be a pick'em. I don't think that, I mean, last year, the thing about that class is that the starting line is, you know, people can say what they want about making the cars, that the cars got easier to drive. Obviously, NHRA corrected that in 2021. But, man, there's a lot of pressure on drivers to cut a light right now. I mean, you've got to do your job because the car's going to do it. And I just think you're going to see some big hole shots. The other part of this deal is when you go to races like this, and I would liken it to a championship on the line in Vegas, final round of the U.S. Nationals. You start racing for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. You put that crowd of people on the starting line, and I know people have multitude of opinions about that type of thing or whatever, but putting what the safety aspect aside, you have source of the sun on the starting line at Orlando. It's that hot, right? The tension, it's an intense environment, and it's not for everybody. I mean, and you see it. You see the men separated from the boys. You see a 140 light. Something got to that guy, right? And I think we're going to see a lot of that, man. These guys don't, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, some of these national events, they there's so many of them. They happen so frequently that it kind of just becomes old hat. And you throw in a variable of what's essentially a winner-take-all drag race, changes things.
Yeah, I've got my list, and I've had my list. The things that I would really like to see, I'd like to see Alex win in Pro Stock now. I mean, I think that would be huge. He'd be obviously the first person to win in each category. But Pro Stock, I've got Alex, Erica, and Troy. Pro Mod, I've got Stevie Fast Jackson, we've got Alex, and I've got Lyle. I'm pretty sure Lyle will be there. So I mean, I just think I like his driving style. I like the way he is. So I mean, that's that.
Dude, but I think Lyle, though, that's a team that's going to come out and be competitive fast. Stevie's going to contend with that. People don't recognize the there is a challenge to running racing out front. You'll notice, like in stick and ball sports, a lot of times I see it a lot in basketball specifically, teams that just can't play from out front, right? I mean, they've got to be in a close game and they've got to get down to a minute or 2 minutes left and be close, and they're going to win. If they are close toward the end, they're going to win because they just need to be behind. They need to squeak it out, right? I'm like that sometimes. I like to make shit hard. And it's not a great attribute, to be honest. Racing out front or playing with a lead, as I like to call it, it's hard, right? You're getting everybody's best effort, and you've got to keep working when your mind maybe thinks you can take a break or stop, you know? And it's hard to outrun that. It's hard to outwork that, outwill that. So I think Stevie has done a monumental job of just keeping it up, right? It's been very impressive to watch. And I think that, you know, he didn't have near the year last year that he had the year prior. I mean, he was a dominant force in 2019. 2020 obviously was pretty screwed up by all accounts. But I mean, it wasn't like he ran away with it, you know? And I mean, he had to race for it down to damn near the final round. The semifinal round in Vegas against Brandon Snyder was one of the most exciting rounds of racing that I've ever seen in sanctioned drag racing. But I think Brandon Snyder is another hitter. I believe Mike Castellana and Frank Manzo will be there. You see, guys, there's a lot of fresh faces, right? There's some new people turning up. Jason Scruggs is one that he's got a lot of experience in Orlando. He tests down there a lot. He is a guy that is a long ball hitter. And when you get into those environments where the track's good, the air's good, Jason Scruggs is a problem. And I would not write him off right now. I think that he's in the hunt. He's due.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that, you know, that you look at and you're like, okay, how did they finish and how are they going to enter? But I kind of want to wrap up with this because you're always someone that has great words and great things. With everything that's going on in our world, our society, and with, you know, the people on the left, people on the right, people in the middle, whatever. If Wes Buck could get on any news forum or whatever and just give encouragement to this crazy time that we're living in right now, what would be the words of Wes Buck?
They can't take your legs, guys. You know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes we just make everything so serious. And don't get me wrong, there's tons of serious business. Economics, serious business. This pandemic, serious business. But we stay so revved up as a society. We stay so, you know, like, aren't we supposed to get up on the tire, right? Like, isn't that the thing? Like, you're supposed to get revved up. I think our society right now, our culture just stays there. We're steady floating the valves as a society. We're just banging off the rev limiter, and I think we would all be well served. COVID taught me a lot, man. This pandemic taught me a lot about my priorities, what's important, what's not. Because I noticed when business started to fade and things started, you know, all these other things got bad. You know what? I still had my wife and kids that loved me. I still had a heart beating in my chest. The sun still shined. You know, the sun was still shining. The seasons came, the holidays came. And I think we need to all calm down a little bit. You know, I obviously these are some really broad strokes and I recognize that, but I do think that, you know, there should be a shared vision of happiness, health, wealth, love, prosperity for everybody, you know? And I don't think you have to embrace everything you disagree with. I don't think you have to, I don't think we all have to become Switzerland and just be open to whatever. I think we can hold on to our values, but I think we can also respect people that have differing opinions. You know what I mean? And be okay with it and recognize that, you know, some of my closest friends, I have a friend back home that is as dyed in the wool a Democrat as you could possibly be. And we disagree on a lot of stuff, you know? But he's one of my best friends. I mean, I tell him I love him when I see him. And you know, and we're all different, right? And if we were all just, I don't know, if we were all the same, none of this would be very exciting. None of this would be very interesting, right? And I just think that there's a common good that exists in most people that if we could all just take a deep breath and realize that tomorrow's coming, and you know, someday it won't, right? I mean, that things are out of our control. A lot of things are out of our control. I mean, I don't think that means you stop caring. I don't think that means you stop working. But I think that means you get right with God. You get right with what's really important. You know, a lot of us don't, you know, we're looking at how many likes we got, right? We're looking at how many downloads we got. We're looking at who responded to our email. You know, we're looking at who showed up at our race, right? You know, I think about Orlando and I think about all the stuff we just talked about and all the pressure I put on myself. And I need Jeggy there, and I need Erica there, and I need Alex there, and I need Stevie Fast there, and I need Belushi there, and I need all these names. And I've, you know, man, if Alicia, Max, and Soph come, I'm good. You know what I mean? It takes two cars to have a drag race, right? And I think we got to get our, and I'm talking to myself. When I say this stuff out loud, a lot of times I feel like I'm exercising some demons because I need to hear what I'm saying, you know? I think people are up on the tire. Social media has been such a powerful force in our world, but I'm not convinced it's been all for good. There's so much connection that's created by this stuff, things like this show. I can't count the connections and relationships I've developed over social media over the last few years, but we're so drunk on getting a reaction, all of us, that we'll put anything out there to get someone to be mad with us or be pissed off with us. And man, if we could just take a deep breath, maybe put those phones down. I've been working on it a lot, practicing putting my phone down, you know, of an evening or on Sundays. And, you know, the world's going to go on. My wife says that to me all the time. Wes, what's the worst that could happen? You miss a phone call?
Mad at you for not texting him back.
Sam gets mad at me for not, you know, but it's true. And man, I think if we just all I think most people are doing their best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think most people, sure, there's people that need pushed. Sure, there's people that are going to be permanently negative. Those things exist. I recognize those things. But man, most people are giving it hell. They're doing the best they know. They're doing all they've been taught, right? You know, I look at all these people that bag on millennials and young people all the time. Well, where do you think they learn this shit? Right? You know what I'm saying? We learn from our parents, by and large. We learn from the people around us. And I think everybody has an attitude of expectation in this day and age. And there's a book that I read, and I think it's called Un-F Yourself. It's a great book. It's written, one of the things is this guy, like the first, I thought, have you ever read a book and you read like the sixth page of the first chapter and you're like, well, I got enough out of that one. And it said, expect nothing, accept everything. And I think all of us could learn a little bit from that. You know, expect nothing, accept everything, and it'll be okay, you know? And I know there's people fighting battles, broke, struggling, business failing, fighting the health battles, and obviously these things are easier said than done. But man, I think that if we would all just calm down a little bit, practice some gratitude. I mean, I find myself thinking like, how in the hell can I have a bad day? Drag Illustrated is on the front door of a 30,000 square foot building in Fort Worth, Texas. I mean, I'm sitting in an air conditioned lounge talking to you at my marble countertop.
Yeah. Do you have any of the team there with you, or you got them all doing stuff?
No, they're all here, man. Mick Snyder right over here in the corner, shipping boxes, taking orders for Elite HP. I don't know how well known it is that we merged Snyder Motorsports, a nearly 30-year-old company out of Indiana that relocated to Texas a few years ago. We merged Snyder Motorsports with Elite HP. It's been a very exciting year. You know, Courtney's downstairs, Dion's downstairs. We got a small army here, and it's, I think about the fact that this is where I go to work and this is, I got a key to this place.
Yep. That's where I'm going to move.
It's a pretty crazy thing, man.
Yeah,
man. We got room for you, dog. Come on.
Hey,
down.
You, like I said, you let me know. Hey, but before I let you go, don't ever forget this. Okay. Don't ever forget, no matter what goes on, even though sometimes I'm like, man, he won't text me back. And you know, our mutual friend, Jason, he's always giving me those good words. But you know, and he's always keeping me level headed, but just know, no matter what, I want to thank you in the Groove Podcast, Mad Bro Motorsports. We want to thank you for being a light in the dark tunnel for us at, you know, at times, and always just guiding us in the right direction and having an open mind and open heart. So thank you to the Drag Illustrated team for given the drag racing world, Wes Buck. Thank you to Alicia, your beautiful wife, and your family for always letting us absorb a lot of your time. But I want to speak for myself and the others that don't say it enough. But thank you, thank you, thank you. I truly appreciate it, and we all appreciate it. And I know what you're going to say. Man, you don't have to thank me for anything, but I'm going to continue to do it, brother.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And it's very humbling. I'm telling you, it was not that long ago. I remember going to a race or going to a trade show, just wishing and praying somebody would say hi to me or be nice to me, listen to what I have to say, and to think about where things lie here. And now it's pretty incredible, man. I'm very, very grateful for all the friends and connections that I've made in the sport of drag racing. And I honestly think that we're just getting started, dude. I really feel when I look around this sport, when I look at people like you and I look at some of the events and I look around and some of the companies, I go, man, there's just fertile soil. There's so far to go. There's so far to go. And it's really exciting because, man, I don't know what it would be like if we were just at the top, you know? So I'm excited for what comes next, and I appreciate your time, man. I appreciate great job on this show. Keep it up, and let me know what we can do to help, brother.
Well, we will have you. I'm going to speak for the Competition Plus Power Hour. We will be getting a hold of you the week. Hopefully you have time, but the week we want to do it. Lee and I were kind of talking. The week of your race, before Lee and I fly down to Florida to come see you guys, we want to have you on and just send you as much love and as much hype as we possibly can. And I cannot wait, too, to go back to PRI. So I can let it all hang out at the DI after hours party like I did in 2019.
Can you imagine what that deal is going to look like after a year off?
All I'm going to say is that I cannot top the year I had in 2019.
No, you can't.
You knew my struggles and the surgeries and everything
those,
like
there
that.
There are those of us that have room for improvement. You do not.
I'm sitting in the corner.
No, dude, that was phenomenal. And honestly, I was just telling the guys at lunch, I said, can you imagine what PRI 2021 or 2022 is going to be? We're going to have to be careful. Because when everybody's had a year to like rest up and recoup, it may be, may actually burn Indy down.
I am sitting in a corner in 2020. The next PRI party, I'm sitting in a corner. But I had a hell of a year in 2019 with family and friends and surgeries and scares and different things like that. And I can honestly
event's for, dude. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because people don't, that event is for that, is because I know that, I mean, your struggles are unique to you, no doubt. And things are relative. I recognize, but everybody's grinded all year. Everybody's spent a bunch of money, broke a bunch of stuff, dealt with whatever drama, wife's mad at them, all sorts of things. And the Drag Illustrated After Hours, which has been powered by Dodge, I believe, for the last 5 years, incredible partners on that event. That's what that event's for. Let everybody just blow off some steam, kind of celebrate a year done, a year down, a season behind us. And I'm glad you came and let it all hang out. And you're acting like you were some sort of obnoxious fool. You're dancing and having a fun time.
Yeah,
so were we all. But, I mean, that's what it's for.
Here we go. For anyone that has not seen it on TikTok yet, I'll let the world see it before I let you go. Oh, I got to hold it this way. Here it is.
You got moves, man.
Dude, I call
you
that.
Got moves.
That right there is what you call when grandma says on Thanksgiving, it's time to eat, and you're just trying to get through everybody.
That is classic.
Just trying to get through.
You'll have to teach me that one.
No, that's a once in a lifetime move right there. It switches up every year. So, but all right, Wes, thanks for your time.
Dude.
Yes, it's been an honor and it's been a pleasure. Everybody, that was Wes Buck from Drag Illustrated. All right, everybody. So this podcast, what was it all about? Talking with Wes Buck and Drag Illustrated and just seeing everything that they've got going on there with their show. I mean, with what Wes has got going on with his show, with what this Door Slammer race is going to be all about, and just the hype that's going on. I'm honestly thrilled, and I can't wait to get down to Orlando. March 5th, 6th, and 7th, Orlando Speed World, the house that Ozzy Moya has built. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal, and you're going to get that chance to be right up close to these NHRA, these pro stock drivers, and experience what it's like at an NHRA event if you've never been. But I want to talk to you guys out there that are still listening. If you are looking to be a part of this podcast, if you want your business to be mentioned when you hear the LS Tech of Mexican Foods, the Anchors, and all these other places, Mabro Motorsports, Power Build Tools, please reach out to us. If you need any social media work or anything like that, please let us know. We're willing to help you, and we want to help you. All you need to do is send us, if you want to be a part of this podcast, In The Groove, I-N-T-H-E-E, In The Groove Podcast at gmail.com, or you can reach me at outlawperformance.ent@gmail.com, and we can take care of you. But as always, you know, we're just going to keep going on, keep pushing on, and keep these great, great, fun-filled podcasts for you week in and week out. We can't thank, like I said, Wes Buck and the gang enough. But you guys, you know what time it is. It's that time to end this podcast. This is episode number 2, recorded on January 25th, and that will drop on this Thursday. So, till next time, y'all. Signing out. This has been another episode of In The Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mad Bro Motorsports, Power Bit Tools, LS Tech of Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you have not done already, please like us on all of our social medias. That is Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the updates to everything we've got going on, and you can stay in the groove and smash that loud pedal.